about trusting in God, and the story was given about trusting God, I thought about another story, and that's in the book of Daniel. And it's where the Hebrew children, there was Daniel, and there was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And first of all, the king of Babylon, when he took them captive, they were Jewish children, and he took them captive, and one of the first things he did, and when he got them over into Babylon, into his territory, and had rule over them, he changed their names. It said their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but he changed them to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What that represents for us is that's exactly what evil wants to do when evil takes us captive. Evil wants to infiltrate our minds and change the good name, or the Hebrew name, the spiritual name that God has given us. Any truth that God has put in our mind, any good spirit God has put in our mind, that's a little bit of God's name. That's a good thing. But evil would like to take us captive, take us into Babylon or confusion, and would like to change our name or change anything of God into his name. But we can be determined to not let that happen spiritually. We can learn to fight the evil and not let that happen. And one of the other things that happens, he takes them captive, he changes their names, and it says the king of Babylon also, when he takes them captive, he decides that he's going to fatten these guys up, get them all pretty and strong and healthy and all these things, and he wants to keep them fed good. He said, I'm going to feed them just like I feed my own family, and I'm going to give them my wine and the good meals, and I'm going to take care of them here for 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, I'm going to bring them all in before me, and the ones that are the healthiest and the smartest and the most intelligent, the best educated and are doing the best, then they're the ones I'm going to select to put in a position, high position, to be servants in my palace. And so he had it all planned out. And once again, we see that here's Daniel and some of his friends, these Hebrew boys, that have been taught the commandments of God. They've been taught to have no other gods before you other than God Almighty, to not worship any other gods, to, all these different laws that they had been given in Israel to follow these laws, including dietary laws. Don't eat this unclean, particular unclean animals, but you can eat this particular meat, and don't do this and don't do that. And so they had been living under all these laws, but now here they are in captivity over in a strange land, living under somebody else's laws, but God had said, you follow these laws. It's like, what do you do? Well, we're all familiar with that. We learn the commandments of God. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. We learn the things that God has laid out in the commandments, and even our system today in the world is based on, largely on these commandments, and how to treat people, and how to think right, and do right things, and love, and so on. And yet, we find ourselves in positions or situations where the devil has taken us captive into a strange land, and we're faced with situations to be tempted to do things that we know is not right, and yet everybody else seems to be doing it. What do we do in that situation? Maybe we're even threatened to be exiled, to be excommunicated from our group of friends, or whatever it might be, if we don't do these things. Well, yet our conscience, what God's taught us, is don't do these things. So what do we do? Well, we look at the lesson from them. What did they do? It says that Daniel said he purposed in himself, in his heart, that he was not going to defile himself by eating the king's meat. He was going to follow those laws that God had given, the certain dietary laws and whatever else. No matter what the king said, he was going to follow God's laws. And he determined in himself to do that. And so he did. And it all worked out where he made a deal with one of the guardians that was over him. And he said, I'll tell you what, don't even have to tell the king about this. Just between you and me, let's give a try here. 10-day test, and just try us out. And you just let us eat vegetables and drink this water. And after 10 days, you can just compare us to all the other children that are eating the king's meat and drinking his wine. And see if we, match up to them. Well, sure enough, that's what happens. The guardian says, okay, you can do that. And so he let him do that. 10 days. They just eat the vegetables and whatever and drink the water, but they don't defile themselves with the king's meat. They were following God's laws. And after 10 days, it said when he compared them all, they were fairer and fatter flesh, and they looked more healthy than all the others that had been eating what the king was feeding them. So they were doing pretty good because God was with them and protecting them. And so they trusted in God, even in harsh situations, even in captivity, they were bold enough to say, I'm not going to do that. You know, even if their life was on the line, they said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand up for what's right. And we can learn from that. We can learn a lot from that. That when we're in situations, whether it's literally taken captive in terms of a country, or whether it's just in situations in our everyday life, again, where we're faced with opportunities, we're faced with choices to make. You know, am I going to keep the commandments of God, or am I going to follow the crowd, or do what somebody else is doing, or do what an evil thought is making me feel like I want to do, even though I know it's wrong? And we can learn to stand up for what we know is right and say, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to do this. And then the one that really came to mind was when here they are in Babylon. And remember, one of the first commandments God gave was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not fall down and worship any image. Don't build any image to try to represent me. Don't fall down and worship that image. If you see one that someone's built, you shouldn't be doing these things. Well, here they are in Babylon. These people didn't have the same God. They didn't worship God Almighty. They had all kinds of other gods. They built these statues and gold things, and they would, you know, worship those and have dedications to them and make a big fanfare about it. And so here's a situation where the king has this big, huge image. I think it's of gold, but has this huge image made, and even calls a big feast and dedication for everybody, you know, all the uppity people, all the people in high positions to come to this dedication. And so they're all called to come in, but there's something they have to do when they come into this dedication. The king has built this image, and he says, okay, the reason this image is built is so that you can bow down and worship this image, because it's a god. Well, what do we do now? Here's the same Hebrew children. Here's Daniel. Here's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are, and they're in a pretty high position at this time. The king has relied on them because they're well-educated and have a lot of wisdom and understanding. And so here they are, expected to come along with all the other people, and they're expected to bow down and worship this image. The instruction was, here's the gold image, it's been built. Okay, when you hear the band start to play the music, everybody bow down and worship. Okay, just do that. Well, music starts playing. Almost everybody starts bowing down and worshiping the image. These children didn't do it. The same ones, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't bow down. They had determined in themselves they were not going to do that.
Amen.
Okay, not a good plan, it would seem, because here was a threat. Whoever would not bow down and worship this image, they were going to be thrown into this fiery hot furnace, burning fiery furnace. Didn't bother them. Yeah, I'm sure they were bothered a little bit. I had to have some thoughts there somewhere. But in terms of what's recorded, they were determined in themselves. I'm not going to let this stop me from doing what I know is right. God said don't bow down to any other image. God said don't worship any other god and put somebody or some other thing before me. And I'm not going to do it. And so the king gets word of this. These guys, you know, you're depending on them. They're in these uppity positions. And here they are. They're not falling down and worshiping this image that you have set up. What about this king? The king is furious. He's angry. His authority has been defied. And so what happens? He commands that these guys be brought into him, and he's going to give them a second chance because he really kind of likes them, and he wants, you know, he's hoping that they'll do the right thing by him and bow down and worship and follow the rules, follow the plan. Well, what happens is they come in, and he gives them this talk, and he says, now, you know, what's up with this, guys? You know, you're supposed to be doing this. Now I'll give you another chance. So when you hear the music start to play, you can bow down and worship this image, okay? They said, nope, it's not going to happen, king. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't care if we get thrown into that furnace or if we don't. If we do, we know that God can deliver us. Our God is able to deliver us.
Amen.
Even if you throw us into this hot, fiery furnace, we know God can deliver us. But if he sees fit for some reason to not do it, we still don't care. We're not going to bow down and worship this image. They were pretty steadfast.
Yeah.
Pretty steadfast. I wonder if we could do that. They were very steadfast in their faith in God and determined in themselves they were not going to do what was wrong. If we could carry that over to today in our everyday situations and everyday life, to be determined to not do what's wrong and to really give our mind to God and worship God in situations and not give it over to something wrong, then we'd be learning a great lesson from it, because that's really why it's there, is to teach us that lesson. So what happens is, here goes the story. The king is really furious now. Second chance, and they still won't do what he says. And so he says, okay, get that furnace. I mean, fire it up. And you fire it up 7 times hotter than it can take it. 7 times hotter, make it. He shows how angry he was about this. So they do. They get it really hot. And then he commands the strongest, you know, men that he's got to take these guys and wrap them up, bind them up, just like you would. You know, someone that you're wanting to kill, you bind them up so they can't get away and overpower you, and you do whatever to them you're going to do. Well, he's going to throw them into this furnace. So he has these really strong guys throw them into the furnace. They bind them up, throw them into the furnace, and it says that furnace has been heated so hot that the guys that were throwing them in there got consumed as they were throwing them into the furnace. That's some pretty hot fire. Well, it says when this happens that the king walks close to the furnace or walks by, and he sees that the guys that threw him in there had been killed. But he also sees that the children that had been thrown in there were walking around alive inside this furnace. They were not hurt. And he sees also that they're not bound anymore. They're not tied up, but the ropes or whatever they'd been tied with was gone. They were just free as you please, walking around inside this, must have been a pretty big furnace. And here they were walking around. And he looks in and he says, didn't we throw 3 of those guys in there? We did, right? You did throw 3 in there. Yeah, king, we did. Well, he said, I not only see 3 of them that are loose and walking around, but I see 4 of them. There's a 4th one, and he looks like the Son of God, and he's in there too. Interesting. Here they are in there. What's the king going to do? And the king says, come on out of there. Can't burn you up, can't kill you. Come on out of there, children. And so they come out, and it says that the king is just flabbergasted about this, and he says, wow, you know, here's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is no God that can deliver like this God. This is quite a God. So you better not. He gives a command. Nobody better speak anything against this God, because no one can deliver like this God. But one thing interesting the king says here, he says that he has sent his angel, and he has delivered his servants that trusted in him.
Yes.
And there's the punchline. They trusted in God, and that's what brought this to mind, is this trust for God and trusting God, even in what would seem to be impossible situations, very harsh situations of captivity, and you do it or you die. Well, they didn't do it, and they didn't die. And that's what God wants us to realize, that even if our literal life is on the line, our spiritual life is not on the line. If we make the right choices for God and keep our worship to God and love God and trust God, that we're going to be protected. God will send his angel, whatever angel it is, angels, and he will protect us, and he'll give us the things we need to keep us alive spiritually.